You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Sid
on 98.1 The Max.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Oh, moron.
You dumbass.
Idiot.
Stupid. Stupid.
Imbecile. This is getting stupid.
Because I'm stupid.
Obviously. Freaking idiot.
That may be the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Those imbeciles.
He's an idiot.
You're so stupid.
Dumbass.
Double dumbass.
Moron. 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 Moron.
Hello there. It's Thursday. It's a nice morning here at the moment. Some rain overnight came down pretty hard. And there's more today on and off, windy conditions and rain, highs about 50. And tomorrow should be somewhat better, so enjoy your day. And tomorrow's Friday, which is always a great thing. Today is Ask Lawyer Bill Day. Wes is standing by with the phones, 535-9898, to ask questions of a real lawyer. We have confirmed that he's been to law school and all that. So he has answers for you and guidance, which many folks need, and the best part is it's free. To start with, so call up and or email mail at drakeinthemorning.com, 535-9898. Do it now. We'll do this and get Bill in here and get her going. Always fun for the entire family as you head to work. I did not see this story locally, but it has made the national news, so it's always good to see Memphis in the news. If it's for good things, especially, this one isn't really good. The MPD found a guy named Michael Bennett, 54 years old, lying on the street in public view with his pants down and a shirt over his head. After being awakened from his slumber, Bennett told police in slurred speech that, you know, he just does crazy things when he's drunk. They can't charge him with anything, really, except the fact that he had a full bottle of whiskey inserted into his anus and a crack pipe lying nearby. I love this guy. Out in the street, naked with a bottle of whiskey up his ass and a crack pipe.
Was it Dickel whiskey?
Was it who?
Dickel.
I don't know. But George does make a fine bourbon. He was arrested on charges of, he had dope and had his wang hanging out and drunk.
Where were we? I don't know.
We might know this guy. I don't know. But that's a really unpleasant way to be found. So good luck to you in prison, sir.
Georgia Carter was hired by a Richmond, Virginia KFC, and her employment didn't last very long.
This is ridiculous.
Or did it? Because the manager of the restaurant told Georgia that she did not have to report for training the following day after noticing Georgia's driver's license identified her as a male.
Whoops.
When Georgia confirmed her transgendered status, she was told, we can't hire you because we don't know which bathroom you can use.
That's really not very nice.
Agree or disagree? How do you not know that you can't say things like that these days?
No,
I mean, you're going to get caught. You're going to get in trouble.
You can't ask somebody how old they are. You can't ask them if they're married. There's this whole litany of questions. When you're hiring, you can't ask people personal stuff like that.
No, and that's why Georgia received the job offer. The manager received a pink slip.
Good. In Lubbock, Texas... This is just sad. It's kind of funny, but it's just ugly. In Lubbock, police were called to the home of a 42-year-old woman named Shauna Lee Bennett on a report that her 3-year-old daughter was left home alone. When police got there, this little girl, 3 years old, approached one of them and told the officer that she was hungry and needed a beer. She's 3. What is the age of drinking in Texas? Is it 5? Because she was just 3 and she couldn't legally get one. She asked this guy for a beer. Officers were overwhelmed by the dirty conditions in the home. And this idiot woman was charged with many things. The little girl was put into custody of somebody else, where she probably did not get her beer from them either. That is just horrible. But it happens every day, I guess. Let's see. This young man, 16 years old, he should know better. He's from Nashville. That's in Tennessee, too. He was arrested after his grandma tried to wake him up for school. He was not prepared to get out of bed. So he grabbed his 9 and shot grandma twice and his sister once and his nephew once. There was a fight about him getting up and going to school. He was pissed off. He grabbed the gun and shot them all three. Nobody's dead yet, but
he was hungover.
He's 16 years old and shooting at Mamaw because he wasn't into school. I can kind of dig it, but that's still illegal.
A little extreme.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Just skip.
Just say, no, I ain't going. Get out of my room. And these kids here in Payette, Idaho, are in trouble. The police plan to arrest these four teens for burning down the home of their high school principal. Little extreme, fellas. The fire also burned up this man's three cars. He, his family, and his pets escaped before the fire engulfed the home and garage. The boys were mad at him for being suspended from school, so they burned his house down and everything in it, and his cars. Good decision-making we have in our kids these days. So that's enough to put you in a much better mood, I hope. And you hopefully aren't that stupid. Lawyer Bill's coming up. The phone lines are already jamming for him. Dixie Pickers, we thank them, as always, for being on this program with us. Two great stores in town. For your shopping needs, for the man in your life, they have lines of clothing from every elite outdoor line in the world. And they got everything now on sale because the spring things are coming in. Store-wide savings at both stores. The new 901 Memphis belt, made just for them by Smathers and Branson. Mountain khakis are coming in. As is turkey season, so you want to get all your camo gear and shotguns, ammo and such for the upcoming season. They have gifts of all kinds, memorabilia, shoes, cologne, clothing, and more for the guy in your life. Vintage finds and classic collections from the South for the guy in your life, your dad, your husband, your son, whomever it may be. And the best store dogs in the Mid-South. Little Daisy's a doll. She's over in Collierville. And Missy and Gage at the East Memphis store at Poplar and Yates. They're there and at the town square in Collierville, too. DixiePickersStore.com. Visit with them, and you will love the stores. Bill's coming up next. A quick song break, and we'll get to him and your calls. The phones are all full right now, but we'll get some open here in a minute, 535-9898. Or mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
Radio show that's all Memphis. You're listening to Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.
Thursday, March 3. It's nice out right now. Maybe wet later on today. So we're almost to the end of the week. Been kind of a fast week this time. We need that. That last song is a band playing at the Beale Street Music Festival. Nathaniel Rateliff, really a popular song. And the Night Sweats is his band. And they're something else. That's coming up April 29. Tickets on sale now for that event. So get them. Ought to be a big year down there. Paul Simon, Neil Young, Train, Weezer, on and on and on. Beck, great show coming up. Our friend Bill Jones is from the Jones Law Firm. He is a certified attorney. He has documents to prove that. And he comes in on Thursdays and helps you get your life in order. Everybody has moments when they need an attorney, and you got to start somewhere. So as hard as it may be, you got to just, dig in, ask the questions, and get a start. How are you, sir?
Excellent.
you're wearing clothing today, a tie, like you're going to go to court or something.
No, I've got, you can't see, but I've got jeans on.
Oh.
He looks like
this
a,
is that chic look, whatever.
A news anchor.
A news anchor.
Because you can't see the bottom half.
Right, right. Good call. So what do you have it on for?
I am meeting with clients all day.
So what?
So you've got the sports coat and the tie and the jeans. It's the hipster
kind of a pro, but not really. Kind of a casual, you know, pro guy.
Something like
guy.
That.
Okay, cool.
Now, look, here's my only commentary on the show so far. You made some comments this morning about that you know, the Trump people may be looking into Hillary's background and Bill's background with women.
Well, they're both doing it, yeah.
Well, with women, and you said that has no bearing. Let me throw in my two cents real quick. Because what I do for a living every day is deal with folks who have dealt with affairs and divorce. I think it does have a bearing on what we look at, because this was a person that they said they loved more than anything, and they lied to them. The biggest lie that you can make. So if anything, that's going to come up positive for Miss Clinton, I think, because she stood by her man, and they're still married.
Yes.
And no one's ever accused her of having an affair.
No.
But what I'm saying is that...
And Trump's on his third wife.
When we look at that, I think it should have a bearing on the American people. We should look at it and we should say, look, this person was unfaithful or this person was not unfaithful. They can keep a promise to the one person they profess to care about.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that should ever come into play. But I think it does have some bearing.
I don't know what he has done has any bearing on why she should or should not be president. I think it speaks to her character that she stayed with him after the public humiliation of what he did repeatedly. I don't know if it says that she and he are together in some kind of a business arrangement or if she loved him that much. Somehow, I think it's the former.
Either way, look, I make no qualms about it. I've never been a Clinton supporter, but I have respect for the fact that she stayed in that marriage. I have great respect for her for the fact that she stayed in that marriage.
It would have ruined both of their careers, and who needs that?
Yeah, Jennifer my wife would have taken a shotgun to me so quick, I would not be here today.
Yeah, you just don't do that stuff, or you don't want to ruin your life, and when you find the right one, you should not be a jerk.
Anyway, that was my two cents on your commentary this morning.
When Bill Clinton calls in, I'll have him call you for advice.
Let him do that.
Okay. To the phones, thank you for your patience for hanging on, Scott. We'll let you be the first one to jump in here with Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, sir. What do you have?
Yes. Over a year ago, I was in court with my ex-wife. We had four children, and I represented myself, unfortunately, walked away with very minimal time, 24 hours every other weekend, and a weekly visit on Wednesdays for 5 hours. And I'm prepared now I want to go back to court with an attorney and try again. However, has enough changed possibly throughout a year's time to warrant a change in circumstance? Or because I know everything's in light of the best interest of the children, you know, as far as I've had a change in job and things of that nature. My question is, has enough time taken place where possible changes could have occurred to have a good chance to get more time?
Yeah, okay. So the litmus test here is not how much time has passed.
Okay.
The easiest thing to change in a divorce or separation agreement is child support, because your income can change back and forth from year to year. So the system is designed and set up to look at that every year if need be. As far as custody and visitation schedules, the courts generally are going to assume, and this is why we always tell people to have a lawyer, the courts are going to assume that when you started litigation, when you and your wife were truly at each other's throats, that you were at that point in your best posture to fight them, okay? And you would throw out every argument that you could and put up your best defense. And they made an award of custody and parenting time based upon those arguments. So the court is hesitant to undo those agreements. They will, however, if you can show that a material change of circumstances has occurred. Now, material change of circumstances is one of those words that has no real meaning. It's what is it? Well, I can tell you what it the best way to look at it is the only way we would have known this would have happened is if we had a crystal ball. Nobody saw this coming. If you've got some factor like that, that's generally a material change. Let me tell you some things that are not material change. She's remarried. Well, we all probably figured that was going to happen. You've had another kid. Well, we all figured that would probably happen. You got a new job. Well, we kind of figured that would happen. So those things are not material changes that would mandate a change. Okay?
Right.
So what you're going to have to do is actually go in, sit down with an attorney, and let them go through just about every facet of your life and see whether or not they can find some material change that has occurred. And okay. Even if they do, sometimes the judges just look at you and go, nah, I don't think that's a big enough material change. And it is heartbreaking when you see it happen.
Right.
Because it's, I understand it's just a dad wanting to spend more time with his kids, but you gotta meet that burden, or you've got to convince a judge that you've met that burden.
Okay.
All right, man. All right, Scott. Thank you, sir. Let's review what we've learned. Don't ever go in there without a lawyer. That is just, this happens about once a week, and it is really sad because he sounds very emotionally hurt, and it's, get a lawyer, man.
Well, here's, one side goes in, hires an attorney, they write up papers, and they take it to the other side, and they go, here, you don't need to hire an attorney. I'll do it for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's true,
yeah.
But the other side should at least take it to a lawyer and say, hey, review this for me. Here, let me pay you for an hour. Read over this and tell me, what am I signing on for? I mean, at a minimum, that's what you should do. Because there's never a time that if I'm representing one party, I'm trying to get them the best deal. There's no way I can try and get the best deal for both of them.
Sure. 535-9898, a line is open. Let's go to John, who's been hanging on patiently. Thank you, sir. What do you have for Bill? Go ahead.
Thank you, Lawyer Bill. I have a question about employment. It's overtime issues, being asked to work over 10 hours a day, and being sent home early or sent to work later to offset the overtime. Is that legal in the state of Tennessee?
Are you hourly?
Yes.
So they're sending you home early?
Or telling me to come in late.
Well, I mean,
to avoid the paying the overtime.
So they'll have you work more in one day and less in another day.
It's just circumstances that happen occasionally.
I mean, an employer can set their own hours and tell their employees when they need them, especially if you're an hourly employee. So I don't know that I see a problem there. Go back to restaurant workers. It's common for them to say, "We don't need you right now. We're cutting kitchen staff, or we're cutting the server." And tomorrow's Mother's Day, so come in early, and tomorrow's Tuesday, so come in late. I mean, that's, with hourly employees, that's kind of common. It may not be as common in your industry, but it does happen quite regularly.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you, sir. Good luck to you. All right, some emails. Sid, go ahead.
All right, Therese has a yard problem. When the houses behind them were being built, the builder took dirt from behind the house right up to the fence line. 5 years later, the ground has eroded to the point where the fence doesn't have anything to support it, and the neighbor has a huge hole in their backyard, the neighbor behind her house. She asks what they can do. They've talked with the neighbor. They think they'd be willing to go in half on a fence, but without a retaining wall filling the hole, our fence will keep falling apart. What can we do? Do we contact the builder or what?
Yeah, I'd contact the builder first. If it's fairly new construction, which it sounds like it may be, otherwise, be thankful that you've got a neighbor willing to split the cost of a fence with you. That rarely happens. So you may want to find out, how long do they think it's going to take them to get that land backfilled and properly graded before you start construction on your fence. But if they're going to split the cost with you, awesome. What you'd spend on litigation is probably, no way near what you'd spend on that fence now that they're going to jump in and help you.
All right, very good. A line up in here, 535-9898. Give us a call, and we'll line you up for Bill. This is Renee for Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Hey, Lawyer Bill. I've actually called in before and spoken to you about this, but I'm now ready to do something. And I didn't mention before, my father passed away in 2005 without a will. Since then, I've paid all the taxes and paid the upkeep on the place and, you know, mowing and all that. And I want to have it switched over into my name. However, I didn't mention last time I had two sisters. My brother signed over his part to me before he passed away. What would I need? I mean, do I need something from them stating that they're okay with it to put it in my name?
Is your sister giving you her share as well?
Well, with the stipulation that, you know, it's family property and anybody can come up there, but we need to get it in somebody's name. And I'm, you know, the more stable and one to have it done. You know, one sister's on disability, and I'm afraid that, you know, somebody that she owes money to may try to take it for what she owes. And, you know, it's not worth a lot, but it's sentimental. And, you know, my father and brother are both buried on that property. They went to the fort and had them, you know, let them be buried there. So,
well, we'd probably put it in the name of, I would probably recommend that we put it in the name of a trust.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably recommend that we put it in the name of a trust and set you up a trust for that property. Give the office a call, and we'll set you up an appointment with Patricia Woods.
Okay.
And she can help you in that area, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good luck. Okie dokie. One more before the break. Who is this? Amy has been hanging on. Thank you, Amy, for being here. Go ahead for Lawyer Bill.
Thank you. Hi. So I live in phase two of my developing neighborhood. We have a lake that was built before our homes were built, and it is in need of much repair. There's sinkholes. There's all sorts of stuff going on. They haven't sold the last lot, but we were told when they sell the last lot that it will come over to the members of that HOA instead of the builder itself who originally built the lake. So we're just wondering what we should do about that. Are there legal matters? Because what I was told is that they've contacted our builder, they've contacted the city, and no one is wanting to do anything about it. But our builder has our current HOA fees, but once that final lot is sold and is taken over by the city, the HOA fees come back on us, and then it'll be our responsibility to fix it.
What you need to do, three or four times when you were telling us what was going on, you said that you had heard or you'd been told. What you're going to need to do is get a copy of your covenants.
Okay.
And you're going to need to read through that and see what it says, how it says upkeep is supposed to be handled.
Okay.
There should be some language in the covenant saying who's responsible for what. And once you've got that language, you can contact, it's probably going to be the builder. And you'll have a little more leverage if you actually have some, you know, some language that you can throw at them.
Right.
If you need to hire an attorney, I would tell you to, you know, y'all as a group need to hire an attorney quickly to get this fixed. If you're correct, that when that last lot sells, something happens. Okay.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Amy. A little break here. A line open. Next is Justin and Ronnie. Y'all hang on and we'll get back to you in just a moment. And a line here is at 535-9898. More of Ask Lawyer Bill or emails at mail@drakeinthemorning.com. Buster's Liquors is at Poplar and Highland, where they have been for many, many moons. And now they're bigger, and the store is brand new, redone, and gorgeous inside. The biggest store of its kind in the state. They have wines galore and 18 wine experts on their staff. They can probably help you find what you're in need of or in search of. They have the Growler Station for the craft beer folks out there. You can sample some and then take some home. Other beers there's hundreds of them in the cooler and elsewhere to look at and to take home and try out. Everything else is beautifully organized. There's an area for the vodkas and tequilas and bourbons and it's all there, plus a deli area with meat and cheeses and things for your dinner parties and such as that. So stop by and talk with them and get some boxes of stuff to take home, or they'll bring it to you in some zip codes if you so choose that direction. BustersLiquors.com. They have your spirits. They're at Poplar and Highland. Go over there and see them. More with Ask Lawyer Bill in just a few minutes.
Find us on Facebook and Twitter and email the show. Drake, Danny, Wes, and Sid. Mornings on 98.1 The Max.